Father, we're in desperate need of you, Lord, as the worship this morning spoke to our hearts. Lord, we're living in this time where the Holy Spirit is being poured out as it was prophesied in Joel. Lord, we're living in these days, Lord, where the darkness is getting darker, but Lord, today the light is getting lighter. There's more light. There's more definition. The gray is going away. The line's been drawn in the sand. And you, Lord Jesus, are going to have a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Your church is rising up. From old to young, from young to old, it is rising up because, God, you are faithful. And, Lord, help us today understand who you are, that your ways, Lord, are what we're looking for today. So bless everything that's said and done here today, Lord. And I pray that you'd prepare hearts for, at the end of the message and what we're going to do today, Lord, you'd show up in power. Because today, Lord, we're looking for miracles. We're looking for signs and wonders. We're looking for healings. We're looking for deliverances. We're looking for people to come to a conviction that they need you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. We all need you, Lord. There isn't one of us that have enough of you. So, Lord, bless your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting that the worship goes along with what I want to talk about today. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. 55 verse 8. 55:8 says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. My thoughts and my ways. We're living in a time where we're moving away from, we're either moving to or moving away from God's ways. His ways, what is he up to? And the worship, we're talking, singing in worship today, Lord. Do we really want your ways? Do we know your ways? You know, we live in a culture that, a religious culture kind of, that knows a lot about God. But they don't know, a lot of us don't know his ways. And God is a spirit, and he's moving us into who he is. You and I, God has commanded us to know his ways. His ways. If you it's amazing, you do a search on the computer on God's ways or ways, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of scriptures in the Old Testament about his ways. His ways. Well, his ways are spirit, for he is spirit. See, God's ways are they're spirit ways. And the reality is that you and I have to have this spirit life going on to know his ways. You're not going to know him without the spirit. God is spirit. And he says, a day will come. Jesus told the woman at the well, a day will come when we will worship in spirit and in truth. Well, if God's a spirit, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you and I are the temple of the Spirit of God. The Spirit. Our spirit is designed by God to communicate with God. You all believe that? You all believe that? We have a spirit, and when we get born again, our spirit that was once dead now comes alive, and now we can communicate in the spirit with our God. That's how you find out. You got to know his ways, because his ways are spirit. And our culture has, the church has developed all these different cultures. Brian, we're in our leadership meeting a while back. Brian was talking about the cultures. We have all these different cultures in the church. You've got the Catholic culture, you've got the Lutheran culture, You got the Baptist culture, you got the Assembly of God culture, you got all these different cultures, and they're all designed by men to get people to focus on their way of doing it. Well, what about God's ways? What about God's culture? What about the Spirit of God culture? The Holy Spirit culture. What are we going to do about the Holy Spirit culture? I appreciate the worship because it's about the Holy Spirit. You and I, Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I are spirit beings and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have to function and operate in the ways of God because He is Spirit. It's not, you can't, and the sad thing is, it's not sad, the wonderful thing is you can't mix them together. They do not work. You can't take man's ways and mix them with God's ways and produce a different way. In fact, I want to read this article. I don't know if anybody saw this in the paper. It won't take long. It's very interesting. This was from Nashville, Tennessee. It was in the paper yesterday. How can a loving God send people, even bad people, to a place of eternal torment? Hello? Isn't that something? A new documentary struggles with the questions of punishment and redemption and how the culture affects and shapes Christian beliefs about God and the Bible. Coming in the wake of the controversy over Rob Bell's 2011 Hell questioning book, Love Wins, which puts hell on the cover of the Time magazine and treading on some of the same ground, filmmaker Kevin Miller believes the debate about the nature of hell is not academic. Rob Bell, you got McLaren, you got all these people that said, well, in fact, there's one, or it says here, I mean, Mike Bickle, he really has it good in here, but we're... Anybody read this? Huh? Anybody in the whole... Anybody read this, huh? The Catholic apologist Peter Kreft said the Catholic Church leaves the question somewhat open, that there is a hell and that anyone can go there and that anyone can go there by their free choice. You got that? That's dogma, he says, and there... that there's anybody in it and how many people are in it, nobody knows. Orthodox Archbishop Lazar Polalo emphatically asserts God doesn't send anybody to hell. God doesn't punish anybody either in this world or in the world to come. In his view, hell is a condition, not a place. The malice we feel is the fire that burns. It's in the paper. We have people actually that have taken the scriptures today and they don't believe in hell. They don't believe God's just. They don't believe God's true. They don't believe in God because they don't know Him. If they knew Him by the Spirit that's in them, they would know that His word is truth and that there is for sure a hell. And guess what? There is consequences for a man who does not come to know his God. There's consequences. See, there's literal consequences. And we live in a culture today, in the church, we have all these varying attitudes that prevail in the church today. I some of you know, I go into prison and I preach in the prison. And the big deal in prison today is this. They're taking the good out of Islam, and they're putting the good of Christianity, and they want to bring them together, and they form what they call Chrislam. I'm not kidding you. It's in the prison. It's a powerful move nationwide in the prisons all across America. The good of Islam, which doesn't even believe in the Holy Spirit, doesn't believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and they want to bring it together with the Christian view, and they want to take the good out of both of them and marry them up. Pretty good, huh? What do you think of that? It's absolutely nuts. It's crazy. And when we live in a culture and see, the problem is we don't want to offend either side. Oh, no, no, I shouldn't say that. The Christians, you can offend the Christians and call them everything you want. But you don't dare offend Islam, do you? What's been in the paper recently? Some guy cranked out some video, you could hardly see it, and the whole world erupts. But now they're bringing into New York City, that one dude made that picture of the cross of Jesus Christ in a bucket of urine and poop. And that's going into the national, the place. It's going in there. They're going to have it on display back there. Well, are the Christians going to get offended? No. No, it's okay. If you did that to Muslims, what would happen to them? Look at what's going on in France. Some guy that took a cartoonist, took a picture of Muhammad and got him, he's naked. They're going after him. See, offense. Everybody's afraid of offense. Are we afraid of offending those with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What did Paul say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed of it. He's not afraid of offending. He was an offender too. Jesus was the greatest offender. Jesus was the greatest confronter. And you and I are in a culture of where the spirit has been so compromised that we're afraid to take a stand and say no. And I mean, it's crazy because that's how people are. Now, in prison, you can get away. I can get away with this kind of stuff in prison. Myself, because it doesn't matter to me. They either want the Spirit of God and what God has chosen for them to be like, spirit men, full of the Spirit, full of the life, full of the light, full of the love of God, or they're not going anywhere. And the church in America is going to have to wake up. And I believe it is waking up, because men and women are finally coming to a place where, no more. Because we can't stand. What are we going to do? Are we going to say the gospel isn't true? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Test yourself to see that you are in the faith." It's there. It's not a popular verse. I'm sure you don't have it on your refrigerator in a little card, but it says, "Test yourself to see that you're in the faith." How do you do that? To know that the Holy, to do it is you have to come to your God and get in His presence and say, "Lord, how are we doing today? How are we doing today? Speak to me, O God. Answer me, O God. Let me know who you are, O God." What's going on with our youth on Wednesday nights should be going in the whole church. The presence of God is here in this room. It's here today, powerfully here. It was powerful in the prayer room. It's here. And the presence of God says to me that He's here. And He wants to touch people. He is a spirit, and we are the temple of the Spirit, and our spirit should be so connected to Him. Connected. What do you think? If I know His ways, He can have His way with me. If I know His ways, His spirit to spirit life with me, He can have His way with me. Well, are we going to let God have His way with me, with you and me? We better. Huh? Don't you think? It's interesting to watch the kids on Wednesday night. They're just direct. They're wrecked. They got leaders that are wrecked. Everybody's wrecked. Even David Edwards got wrecked. It was fun. It's fun. Isn't it? Is it fun, guys? Yeah. This one here, this guy, Zach, he really got wrecked. And I was there. Why? Because they finally decided, I think, well, I know it's an outpouring of God, but they just decided, okay, let's roll with the Lord. You realize in Acts, those people were wrecked all the time. They lived in wreckedness. They lived in His presence and His power. See, their spirits, they were so tired of thousands of years of Jewish and Hebrew tradition that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, man, blew them away. I mean, they got excited. You imagine they got excited? I think they got real excited. I think we got to get excited. Right? I got some notes here. The seven spirits of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the knowledge of God, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, Isaiah 11. If you look at those from this aspect of the ways of God, they're the ways of the Spirit, the way of wisdom. Where's that at? It's in Proverbs. You read through the Bible, if you begin to read the Bible and say, Lord, show me in your word how the seven spirits flow and affect my life, you will find out the word of God is literally laid out with the seven spirits of God and what God wants to reveal to you. He wants to reveal who he is. He wants to reveal his heart, his ways, what he's up to. He wants to give us the wisdom for every situation we get into. It's a spiritual wisdom. If we're involved in work or if we're involved with a situation in your neighborhood or with somebody in your family, he has the spirit of counsel to give you all the stuff. They're his ways. They work. Believe that? They work. They're designed by him to work in us, or our spirit is alive and aware of what he's up to. Because he's up to something. Amen? Now, if you go into the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, humility, brokenness, long-suffering, and self-control, and against such there is no laws. Those are the, what is the way of love? What's in 1 Corinthians 13? Do you read that and say, Lord, show me the way of love? Do we read it that way? God, I want to know. It's one of your ways. I want to know the way of humility. I want to know the way of brokenness. I want to know the way of self-control. They're your ways. Show me, show me, show me. Help me understand them so I can get my axle wrapped around them so I can do what you want me to do. Right? See, the word has to be brought to a practical application to where it comes out of our life so our spirit is running the show. You know that song, as the deer pants for the water, my soul longs for you, my soul. The Holy Spirit, when you get born again, is designed to rule your soul, the mind, your will, and your emotions. You understand that? It's designed by God to rule. Our culture teaches us that our soul is to run ourself, to run self. Me, 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 me. Right? Your soul, when you're before you're born again, your soul, who's running the show? You are. Your soul runs it. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, soul, I'm taking over. Hello? I'm taking over. Well, whole soul says, no, you're not, dude. No. I'm ruling. No, you're not. The Holy Spirit is designed by God. And the secret to the whole deal is thirsting, my soul thirst for the Lord, for the intimacy, for the relationship, for Him. And when I begin to focus on Him, my soul gets a hold of Him and I begin to go after Him. Guess what happens? The mind, the will, and the emotions have to yield to the Spirit of the living God. And guess what? That's when the radical changes happen in our hearts. It's practical. It's practical stuff. It's common sense stuff. You know, the Bible is not rocket science. The Bible, actually the New Testament was written in the guttural Greek language so the common guy could understand it. And what he says is, my soul thirsts for you. We have to have a desire for our soul to go after the Lord. We got to go after him. We got to go after him. And everything we do, whether it's job, grades, family, whatever, it's got to, Lord, what are you up to? What are you up to? Is your talk during the day, Lord, what are you up to in me today? Fill me, Holy Spirit. Constantly fill me, Holy Spirit. Pour over me, Holy Spirit. I must know what you're up to today. Release the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. Why does Paul teach us in Ephesians, pray this prayer? That he prayed that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be poured out so we would know the deep and the secret mysteries of the knowledge of our God. God is waiting for us to have a passion in our spirit to know the deep and the secret mysteries of our God. It's about knowing our God, knowing who he is, and walking in the spirit life he called us to live in. And then he says, what's the promise? Then your light will shine. Your light. We're all temples of the Spirit, full of light, and we're designed by God to shine into the darkness. That's the whole deal. And the church has got to reawaken to this, because unless we go down this road, we will get lazier and lazier and lazier, and we'll start believing some of this junk that's written in that article. I'm going to read what Mike Bickle said. It's kind of interesting. Let me see here. In the film, Missouri International House of Prayer director Mike Bickle says that to promote the idea that the grace of God is available in hell or universalism is the worst crime a preacher of the gospel could say to the world. Miller seeks to show that this view is not out of line with the Christian tradition. It isn't. But the Christian tradition is gone in a lot of places. There's no hell. There's no absolutes. There's no truth. We live in a world where there's no truth. Now we're coming into a church system that says there is no truth. Unfortunately, they don't know the way, the truth, and the life. They don't know this, the truth, and they don't know Jesus. If they actually knew Jesus, they would not be able to make that statement, would they? And we got to get around that, because we're around these kind of people all the day long. I'm around them all the time, and they don't want to hear any. Sometimes they don't want to hear what you got to say, but it's okay. Does that keep you from saying it? No, you just say it. Well, I don't agree with you. That's fine. You don't have to agree with me, but when you stand before the Lord, you might have a different attitude about it. I mean, is it wrong to say something like that? No, but we've got it down. You don't want to say that, brother. You're going to make them mad. You're going to hack them off. So, did Jesus hack anybody off? Yeah, I think he hacked off a lot of people. In fact, he hacked them off so bad they put him on the cross and tried to kill him. But then he defeated death. So, what's the devil got on you? He's got nothing. Our young people, we have to take a bold stand. Man, you guys got to get on fire. And I know you're on fire, but you can't be afraid of these people. Because the problem is they've been sold a lie for so long. It's in the schools, it's everywhere. And someone's got to come along and say, no, I don't think so. I think this is the way it is. I know God's ways. God's ways. God's ways. Have you asked the Lord how to think like Jesus, my thoughts? It says you have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, can you think like the Lord? Yeah. Can you figure out his thoughts? Will he reveal his thoughts to you? Will he teach you his thoughts? Yeah, he will. He wants us to know his ways and his thoughts. He wants us to think like he thinks. Yeah, I mean, and this really works in practical application. Any of you ever done a project and you got stuck? You couldn't figure it out. And you looked at all these books and everything, and you couldn't find the answer. And you said, Lord Jesus, How do I fix this? A couple minutes later, 5 minutes later, you're still fussing around, and he says, well, do this, this, and this. You do this, this, and this, and geez, guess somebody knew something I didn't know. Wasn't in a book. Where did that come from? I think it came from God. I mean, I used to do stuff like that all the time. I mean, I've had stuff happen, and, you know, I used to fiddle around with boats and all kinds of mechanical stuff, and you get stuck. But God would show up and say, well, here it is. We used to pray for refrigerators, and they'd get healed. Seriously. Sherry knows. Look, we have to get so practical with our God, because you think your God is not practical? Is your relationship with him to a place, well, you know, I don't ask him for that kind of stuff. You better learn who he is. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Lord's been showing me. We don't really know who he is. We got to get to know him. Because I'm telling you, we're in a time where we're going to have to know him, and we cannot be afraid to tell this lost and dying and sick world who he is. Listen, we're going to have to, if he says we're going to heal the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead, when's that time coming? Huh? When? It's going to have to happen pretty soon, isn't it? Who's he going to get to do it? It's his ways, isn't it? If it's his ways to heal somebody, is to cast the devils out of them. Is that his way? Yeah, it's his way. It's time we get his ways and learn to do it his way. See, we've tried to figure this out because we're so smart. We're the smart people, you know. We got it all going. We got all these colleges and universities. We got everything. We don't have his ways. We don't have his thoughts. We don't have his understanding. We don't have his wisdom. We don't have his counsel. We don't have his might unless we know him. And we're called to know him to get it. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, I thoroughly know you and understand you. If he thoroughly knows and understands me, then he says, well, do you want to get to know me? By the way, I am a spirit, and the only way you're going to know me is by your spirit that's in you, that is alive to know you. This is what Nicodemus didn't get in John 3. What do you mean? I got to crawl back. Jesus said you got to be born again. What did Nick say? Well, I mean, I got to crawl back into my mother's womb? Duh. And Jesus said, no, man, unless you're born of the Spirit of God, you can't even see the kingdom. I have a spiritual kingdom. It's coming. It's here. And he says, if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you can't get into the kingdom. Well, duh, what does that mean? Nick, did he figure out by the end? I got a hunch Nick was there when Acts was poured out. I bet he found out quick. And he, like a lot of them did. And you and I are both be in the same camp. We better get it figured out what he's up to. Because he is moving in the Spirit today. What does it say in Joel? In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Well, are we in the last days? I think we're in the last days. Man, I got an old guy down at prison. He's been telling me for 5 years, Jesus come back soon. I saw him last Tuesday night and I said, when's Jesus coming back? Well, he's coming back soon. I said, that soon's been a long time. I said, why are you worried about him coming back? Well, I just want to go see him. I said, well, pray and ask the Lord to take you to heaven. He might show him to you. Well, I never heard that before. Well, you heard it before, but he didn't understand it. The problem is we think that he's coming back. He's coming back when he's coming back. But he's going to have a church. What's going to happen to the church? The church is going to go through a major change in the next few years, because we're going to have to either know him and live our lives like we know him, or we won't know him. That's how it is, how it's going to be. You and I are living in that time. We're living in that time. You know, if you think about this thing, it's fascinating. If we study the fruit of the Spirit, the way of joy. Do you know the way of joy in your life? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do we know the joy of the Lord? The way of love, 1 Corinthians, the way of patience. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Patience. Wait. What if he doesn't show up in 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 30 minutes? What would happen if you had to wait an hour? Would it be worth waiting? Yeah. So we have to learn how to wait on. We have to learn how to be kind. Kind, the way of kindness. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. The way of goodness. Who's the only good one? Only one good one. His name's Jesus. The way of faithfulness. Man, being faithful. Are you faithful? Is he teaching you faithfulness? Is he teaching you goodness? Is he teaching you patience, kindness? Is he teaching you? Are you asking him to show you his ways and show you how to live in them? Are we spending our time in this stuff, learning who he is? Because that's who he is. The way of gentleness. Some of us will struggle with gentleness, you know. There's a few around that are kind of not too gentle, kind of rough around the edges. Are we learning gentleness? Hopefully. And the way of self-control. Controlling yourself. You know, it's amazing. I remember, you know, we did Proverbs years and years ago. It's amazing. You go back into the book of Proverbs and you start reading all the stuff in there, and all the stuff, all of a sudden, the Lord just gives you this download. Wow. You say, wow. Yeah, you told me that a long time ago. I don't guess I finally know how to figure out how to do it. You know what I mean? We have to keep learning and keep growing and keep going. This word is so powerful. It's so alive. It's so real. But guess what? It just keeps stirring us. Because the Word of God, I believe, is in us for another reason, to stir up the Holy Spirit in us. Stir it up. We're a temple, and the Word is in there. When the Word goes in there, it's supposed to stir the Spirit up. We are supposed to be stirred up in the Spirit. Right? Stirred up. How many are stirred up, really want to get stirred up in the Spirit? Now, Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Spend your time on him. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Worship the Lord. The how-tos. I have the how-tos of how to do this. We can talk about it till we're blue in the face, the ways, but we better get the how-tos down. And it gets back to the same old disciplines. You wait on the Lord. You worship the Lord. Psalms 45:11. You read, you start asking, Lord, how do I learn to worship you, Lord? What does it take to worship God? I mean, the worship we had this morning, for some may be uncomfortable because it's extremely intimate. It touches your spirit. I mean, it just, you know, at least to me, I'm hung up on that kind of worship, see? Because that's how I was raised. But I'm telling you, we have to learn that our God in worship is the most intimate, one of the most intimate times you can get with him. Get with him. Nobody else can get in there when you and him are together. Did you know that? You can set it up. You can get yourself in a place after all the distractions, in your quiet place, your secret place, to where nothing can get between you two. Nothing. And you sit there and you wait and you worship and you learn to pray. They're saying prayers, praying prayers, but in Psalms 109 in verses 3 to 5 it says, I, David, became prayer. You think about a guy that knew God's ways. Look at David. Started out as a kid taking care of the sheep. He didn't have no big church building to go to. He wasn't sitting out there with all the stuff. He had his harp. He had a stick. Had some food and had a few sheep. Some water, probably by a brook. And what did David do? He learned the ways of God. How was David at a young kid when he was a young kid and he was king and he was standing over Saul ready to take him out? Or Saul was in the cave going to the bathroom, David could have taken him out. Some young rebellious kid today would have taken Saul out and waved the banner. But David said, no. Where did he learn that way? With being with his God. Being with his God. Knowing God's ways. The Lord showed me, he says, the whole book of all the Psalms, they're all about David. They're about the good part of his life and the bad part of his life. And the outcome of his life. The reality is he learned God's ways. You, as young people, you got to learn God's ways. Because unless you get them down when you get older, that's when the struggles come. How do you learn patience? How do you learn kindness? How do you learn to fight in the spirit? How did he learn to slew the lion, take care of the lamb? He learned it because he knew his God. And as God revealed who he was to him constantly, he didn't have any distractions, didn't have any Game Boys, didn't have any iPhones, didn't have any iPads, didn't have any computers, didn't have any stuff, did he? All he had was him and God. And sometimes you and I are going to have to get back to that place. If you want to keep revival going and young people, you better learn how to get in that secret place. So when you come to the meeting on Wednesday nights, you aren't dependent on Chris and Charlene to bring the stuff. You got it, and you're going to bring it. Hello? Make sense? Amen. You got to learn his ways, man. His ways. His ways. Some of us old timers, we got to get back and know his ways. Because we get comfortable. We get sedimentary. We think we know it all. We think we got the latest deal. Look, the Lord showed me you don't have much anything without me. So what are you going to do? He's on our case. Why? Because he loves us. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring the Word alive in you by revealing what it will do to your spirit man. You hear that? Ask the Holy Spirit to bring a Word alive. When you read this, a Word alive by revealing what it will do to your spirit man. The Word is designed by God to feed your spirit. You've got to feed your spirit. Feed it. And you don't feed him cookies and cream, you feed him the Word. Right? The other thing is to fast. Learn how to fast. Get quiet and fast. It's hard. It's tough. Learning God's ways takes our focus off of us, our ways, our methods, our thoughts, and puts our heart on his mind and on him. We're living in a fun time. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun in the next year. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to have fun, and God's going to show up because God has found some people that, guess what? He can dwell in, live in, and love, and that are going to live, that are going to take what they learn and give it to somebody else, the unlovables, the lost, the sick, the lame, and the broken. That's what's coming. You know. People say, well, is the church going to grow? Well, this one's going to grow because the love of God's in the church. When people love what God loves, they'll do what God wants them to do. They'll do it sacrificially. And I believe that's coming. So that's what you signed up for. What do you think? That's what you're signed up for. And all I can do is encourage you to partake of it. You think about what those guys went through in the Old Testament. They just had little glimpses of the Spirit of God. Few here, few there. You and I, we get to be the temples where God chose to dwell. Wow, what a contrast. And we need to be aware of what's going on out in the world, because the world doesn't have any truth anymore. They've walked away from it. They've abdicated what the founding fathers thought of in this when they founded this country, and they've given it away. But God's church is rising up, and we need to really pray and ask God's wisdom. The election's in 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, and we just need to be ready. We have to learn, this is a time I just sense, we have to learn to trust in our God, trust in Him. God is the one who gives us our presidents. You got to understand that. And the prophets have spoken about what they believe is going to happen, and guess what? The church is rising up all across the country, everywhere, and crying out to God. And I believe the Lord is going to have His way. We're going to have a man. We're going to have a situation where it's going to change. And it's good. But you and I, as Christians, we have to keep our eyes fixed and focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We cannot get distracted by all the fear and all the war, all the rumors and all the baloney. We have to keep our eyes on what God's up to. If you're here today and you need prayer to be encouraged, some in here have had a sitting on the fence type of deal, been waiting. And today the Lord's touched your spirit. He's touched you. He said, "Okay, are you ready to get back into the game? Are you ready to get into the war? Are you ready to pick up the shield of faith, the belt of truth? Are you willing to get going in Ephesians 6? Because the church is going to have to take its stand. Is that going to be you? Are you interested in that? If you're interested in that, come on up. We'll pray for you. Is there any ministry team besides George and Jane and Pauline and Brian and who else? Because we really need to get with it. Do you understand the urgency of the time? Huh? Do you understand the urgency of the time? It's urgent. It's time. And God wants to bring forth His church as the witness of the Holy Spirit in this day and this time. Come on up. If you're weary and you're tired, come on up. There's a whole bunch of you that are weary and tired. You need to be coming up here. Getting some prayer today that God will come and strengthen you in the Lord. Because that's what's going on. That's what He's up to. So we're going to pray and we're going to invite everybody up. Holy Spirit, we're thankful for Your word and for Your truth and for Your life and for Your light and for what You're up to today, Lord. You are up to good stuff in our hearts today, Lord. So I just pray You'd come and wash over us. Stir the hearts of your sons and your daughters today, Lord. If there's anybody sick in the room, come on up, we'll pray for you. If any oppression or depression's come, we want to pray for you. The Lord's here today. He's come here to heal the sick. Set the captives free. Set the captives free. So Lord, come now in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen.